How's everyone this evening? Amen. Amen. Nobody said thankful. You saving that to Thursday? I found something when I was studying that will probably get me in trouble. But it's okay. I have a couple of people I need to call and share this with. This is in Leviticus 7:15. It says, "And the flesh of the sacrifice of this peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it's offered, and he shall not leave any of it until morning." So that's telling me that Thursday I can eat all the food, and there won't be any leftovers. Because I have a scripture that says, you shall not leave any of it until morning. You know I'm just kidding, right? But I was looking at that scripture and just burst out laughing. So that's my Thanksgiving eat food scripture. I got to call Pastor Archie and share that one with him. Because I know my daughter, Deborah, she won't let him eat. Now he could show it to her in word. You know, this is the Thanksgiving season, but to us, it's not a season. It's a lifestyle. Amen. It's a lifestyle. And we don't really spend enough time thinking about Thanksgiving as a lifestyle. We probably, most people, well, I don't know most people. I'm sure a lot of people, okay, spend more time thinking about Thanksgiving the week before than they do an entire year. You know, because we're not walking around thinking that we're to be live it with an attitude of thanksgiving to God. But God, he shared a couple of things with me concerning it, and I'm going to share them with you. Why don't you go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I know I just rolled in into it. It's okay. You need to, yeah. Okay. Are you there? This is King James Version. Let's read it together. In everything, verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5. Are we there? Let's read it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, one of the, I don't know if it's dispute, disagreement, misunderstanding, whatever it is, but folks, there seems to be this debate, give thanks in everything, not for everything, or, you know, you don't give thanks for it. And so when I read this scripture again, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I said, you know what? One way to clear this up for me is to look at it in the original text. Find out what the words mean, you know, in the Greek or Aramaic. And so I looked up some work by, you know, Pastor Renner, and I read footnotes and I didn't read commentaries this time, but it cleared something up for me, because I'm going to share what it says in the Passion Translation for you in a minute. But the Greek word for in everything in 1 Thessalonians 5, that Greek word is an all-inclusive phrase. And it means in every circumstance. Now, you know, when saying every circumstance, that really covers anything that could possibly come up. It even includes all manner of disappointments. You know, when you can't do what you want to do when you want to do it, okay? And your lip drops down to the floor because of that. It means when you can't, you know, you want to buy something and you don't have the money to buy it. And you get upset about it. It covers that. Because we're supposed to be thankful even in those situations. Saying thankful when I don't have enough? Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Why? We'll get to it. Okay. It also means, what's it, not being willing to purchase or attain what you want. And now we're supposed to be thankful in those circumstances anyway. But when used in this context, the phrase give thanks is a command to have a graceful, thankful attitude and to keep it up. It's the opposite of grumbling and complaining and moaning, which we tend to do when we don't get what we want. You know, if you leave a little late, or maybe you left on time, and the bus was early, and you turn the corner, and you see the back of the bus pulling away. You stand and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful for this. Or do we think, now I'm going to be late for work, and you're going to let that thing ruin your entire day? Who knows what we're thinking about the driver who deliberately woke up and left 5 minutes early just to make me late. Paul said this is the will. Being thankful is the will. Being thankful, no matter what comes, is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us.
Amen.
I think that's pretty important. If that's the will of God in Christ, then I should be doing it. So when Paul said that, there really isn't any room for doubt. We're supposed to be gracious and thankful no matter what. No matter what. And we have to find in ourselves ways to express our gratitude because we're so thankful. I mean, we may wish for more. This is what he told me. We may wish for more, but the truth is we don't have more at the present. And complaining about it is not going to change it. Okay. What we should do is be thankful for the promise. What promise? That God said he shall provide our every need. And so if we understand that promise and we grab hold of that promise, it doesn't matter what we see or what we have at current.
Amen.
We can be thankful for what God said he was going to supply. And we can be thankful for the opportunity to walk in faith.
Amen.
And not by sight. And let ourselves be overwhelmed with those emotions instead of, what am I going to do now? I don't have enough. And God, you should know that. He does. And he puts you in a position where your attitude can open new doors for you. Where your attitude, yours, just like, you know, you go into the store and they have those doors. When you approach the door, it opens. If you just stand there yelling at the door, it's not doing anything. But you have to go toward the door like you believe it's going to open. And what does it do? It slides open. And you walk right through. And you don't even have to close it. It'll close itself. It lets you get in, then it closes. And it'll keep doing it. Now look at the, I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. In the Passion Translation, I'm going to start at verse 16. Same verse. Okay, why are you stuttering? There we go. Reads, let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. Now listen to this. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks. For this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. His perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to leave verse 16 for a minute. I want to share something to you about perfect triumph in Christ Jesus. Because that verse identifies three areas that require our focus. First is, it says, unbounded joy. It said, let joy be your continual feast. See, that's telling us something. We're talking about thankfulness, but if we don't have joy, we're not going to be thankful. It says, let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. It's talking about praying continually. Giving thanks to God no matter what happens in our lives. No matter what happens, give thanks. Period. How can you walk down the street, you fall down, you break your leg? Thank you, Lord. Why? Because with the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. That's why. Because he said he'd work all things together for your good. Because you love him and you're called according to his purpose. Why? Because he said, this is your confidence. That if you ask anything according to my will, I'll hear you. If you know I hear you, you know you'll have the petitions that you ask. So you say, thank you, Lord. And the next thing you know, that broken leg ain't broken anymore. And while it's recovering, God meets your needs. Sends you people, sends you equipment, sends you whatever you need so you can still do the things you need to do while you recover. If you have an attitude of thankfulness. When you notice the people are more willing to help you when you're smiling than when you're grumbling. I had to go to the, I probably told you this, because I've told you most of the stuff in my life. But I had to go to motor vehicle. And I decided I was not going to have this feeling of dread going to motor vehicle. When you go to the Department of Motor Vehicles, especially if it's in the beginning of the month, you know one thing is going to happen. You're going to wait. So I brought stuff to read, keep myself occupied. And you go there and you pick out a number, you know, and you look at your number and you look at one for you, and you can do math, and you're like, okay, there are 23 people ahead of me. And I'm the wrong person to talk to online if you're going to complain. Folks come stand next to me, and they say, can you believe this? They knew all these people were going to be here. And I'm like, why'd you come here? Well, I have to get my car registered. Did you think you were going to be the only one? Said, no, and that's why I came early. I said, go poll everybody in here. They all tell you the same thing. That's why I came early. I thought I'd beat the crowd. Okay. I said, be grateful that you can get your car registered. They walked away from me. But I went and I sat down. I waited for them. You know, and meanwhile, I'm watching the people. I'm watching folks go up there. I'm seeing the workers, their face all tensed up. And now I walk up there, and there's a person in front of me who needed the same thing I had, that I needed. But they didn't have their insurance card. And then I realized something. I didn't have an insurance card because I didn't think I needed it, you know. And the person was giving him such a hard time, said, look, you don't have your insurance card. You need to go back home and get your insurance card, and then you can come back. Now I have to wait in line. You should have thought about that before. And then she just looked at me. Well, you can come right up. I walked right up. Good morning. Look at me. Well, how was your day? I said, how was my day? We've been open only for an hour, and I've had all these people here. I said, yeah, but you're employed. You know, I said, and plus you had all those people, now you have me. Now I get a smile. Okay. And now it's how can I help you, sir? And I shared what I needed, and she looked at me and she said, okay, all I need is your insurance card. I'm like, I didn't know I needed that. No problem. Why don't you call your insurance company and they'll fax it over to you? I didn't have cell phones. You know, they had the old coin phone things in there. And someone was using that. I said, well, what insurance company do you have? I told them. And they called. And they said, just have a seat. Your number will flash back up as soon as it comes. They said, well, you know, if I have a customer, I'll finish with them, but then you'll be next. I went and sat down. Then about 10 minutes or so, my number flashed up. I went there. Here you are, Mr. Carr. Everything's in order. You have a nice day. So you have a blessed day also. I said, don't let these people take away your joy. You keep smiling. And she said, thank you. And I left. I mean, just all I did was smile. All I did was be nice. Amen. I'm thankful that I was able to get done what I needed to get done. And it didn't take all day. But it could have if I went there and my attitude was wrong. Give thanks no matter what happens. Be thankful no matter what happens. See, really, I started writing, and I wrote, if we cannot be thankful, then I thought about it. I said, that's not a true statement, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So it's not that we cannot be thankful. It's that we will not be thankful. We'll choose not to be thankful. I'm forever... My wife will tell you, I talk with everybody. I mean, I just do. And we're online in the supermarket, and people are complaining. Now, you go to the supermarket, if it opened at 9, you walk in at 9:15, and the cashier's like, it's only 9:15. And I look at them, and I start smiling. And I said, you just came to work. Yeah, but I'd be here until 6. I said, you don't want to be here until 6? No. I said, if you want, I'll go talk to the manager and he can fire you. And you can leave now. And they looked at me and started laughing. I said, I guess I should be thankful for having a job. I said, I think so. You know. That was right across the street at Manor of Health. Person's still there. Still there. Moved around, learned some different things. I went in there one day, and they were in the customer service area. And I looked and said, okay, you who wanted to go home early. But see, if we allow those three things, unbounded joy, praying continually, giving thanks no matter what happens, when we do that, we're allowing the full expression of Christ to be shown in us. The full expression. If we don't, if we're not thankful, then the full expression of Christ isn't showing through us at all. See, think about this. In any circumstance, you're going to demonstrate one of two things, thankfulness or ungratefulness. Well, you're going to do one of the two. If you're not thankful, you're ungrateful. Amen. If you're grateful, you're thankful. Because you have all of that going on inside of you. And as I shared earlier, thankfulness is an overwhelming force. It's an overwhelming emotion if you choose to let it be. You can choose not to be thankful, and then grief and anger and despair will be your overcoming emotions. And your failure to be thankful is a sign that you're not in faith. Amen. And if you're not in faith, you cannot be pleasing to God. Amen. If you're not in faith, you're not seeking after God. You're not diligently seeking God. So if you're not diligently seeking God, then you don't believe he is. And if you don't believe he is and you're not diligently seeking him, how can he reward you? Because he said he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But first you have to believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder. So if he's a rewarder, no matter what comes, all I have to do is go through it. My Father will reward me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No matter what comes, thank you, Lord. You fall down the steps and you're not dead. Thank you, Lord. God has someone right there to take care of you. Thank you, Lord. Instead of, God, you knew this would happen. Why didn't you have them put a railing or something up there so I wouldn't fall? Did put a railing up there. It's called faith. One reason, because I think about everything. And I start thinking, well, okay, since this is so plain, at least plain to me, how come people have such a hard time being thankful no matter what comes? And the answer was because they're not fully aware of the promises. Not fully aware. Oh yeah, you don't have a problem if you have the sniffles. You know, you can grab a promise for that. That's okay. But I mean, when those big ones come and come and stand in front of you flexing their muscles, what do you do then? Well, the same stuff that got you through the little ones gets you through the big ones. Amen. Because God has already dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. And you just need to know that the faith you have is enough if you'll apply it. Amen. And just give thanks because you believe God's going to do what he said. And if you believe God's going to do what you said, you can give thanks. Give thanks before, during, and after. Amen. When I start singing songs about, you know, thanks and thankfulness, I always tear up because I can't help but think for everything that he's gotten me through just currently. I mean, every year, something will come up and the devil immediately starts saying, yeah, I'm taking you out this year. Every single year since I've been ordained, every year, okay? And I've never gone to God and said, when is this going to stop? I go to God and say, thank you with another opportunity to prove that the devil is defeated. Another opportunity to prove that I have power over all his power. Thank you, because if I don't have an opportunity to prove it, no one will know. And I want folks to know. Even with athletics, you don't win championships by not playing games. You have to be in the game. Yeah, what is that? You have to be in it to win it? And how many of you know that when you give, great things happen when you start giving thanks? Look at Luke 9. This is out of the Passion Translation. Luke 9, beginning at verse 12, reads, as the day wore on, the 12 came to Jesus and told him, it's getting late. You should send the crowds away to the surrounding villages and farms to get something to eat and find shelter for the night. There's nothing to eat here in the middle of nowhere. First of all, they're his 12 disciples. They should have come to Jesus and said, "It's late, we're believing that there's food and shelter right here so the people don't have to go anywhere." But they didn't say that. They didn't go to God for themselves to find out. They went to Jesus to find out what he wanted to do. Why am I telling you that? Folks, when you're supporting someone, you're supposed to go to God and find out what needs to be done and go back and give a report on what needs to be done, because you went to God and he gave you a plan. If it's the right plan, it'll bear witness, and they'll say, "Great, good, go ahead and do it." But they said, and here's why I said what I just said. They said, "There's nothing to eat here in the middle of nowhere." Jesus responded, "You have the food to feed them. You have the food." They replied, they didn't say, "No, we don't have any food." They said, "All we have are these 5 small loaves of bread and 2 dried fish." Okay. God, I'll tell you, I want you to go over to the Philippines and work with Apostle Mike. All I have is $73.52 in the bank. Jesus responded, "You have the food to feed them." They replied, "All we have are these 5 small loaves." I can imagine them first when Jesus said, "You have the food to please them." And look, what are you talking about? Then somebody had enough courage to say, "All we have is 5 small loaves and 2 dried fish. Do you really expect us to go buy food for all these people?" So now they're stingy. Now they're saying, "We don't want to give. Okay. We don't have enough, and I'm not going to give anything to go get enough." Okay. There are nearly 5,000 men here with women and children. I looked it up. They said, you know, according to percentages, they said it's probably more closer to 10,000 people than 5,000. You know. He told his disciples, "Have them all sit down in groups of 50 each." After everyone was seated, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and gazing into the heavenly realm, he gave thanks for the food. How could he do that? I mean, he's got 5 small loaves and 2 dried fish. He couldn't have even, there wasn't enough food there to feed the disciples. So if he did send the crowds away, what were they going to eat? They've been fighting over the fish. Jesus was, based on the definition I read to you earlier, Jesus was overwhelmed by an inner feeling of gratification and grace. He knew God would come through. So in addition to voicing his thankfulness, he did something else. He acted on it. So how did he act on it? Verse 16. Then in the presence of his disciples, he broke off pieces of bread and fish and kept giving more to each disciple to give to the crowd. It was multiplying before their eyes. I was like, okay, he made the people sit down, yeah, so there'd be order, but also so they could see. Because Thanksgiving is a public display of thankfulness. He wanted them to see. And he got right, see, the Bible's nice, said in the presence of his disciples, he got right in their face. give it, and just kept, they give it away and come back, and he's given more. They give it away and come back, he's given more. Until everybody is fed. And now they're fragments. How many disciples were there? So they needed to eat also. They picked up all the fragments. Guess how many baskets it filled? And I'm wondering something. Because, see, it wasn't just the fish that multiplied. Where'd all the baskets come from? There may have been one basket. Well, let's say there was a basket that had the fish or a basket that had the loaves. I don't know. But there weren't 12. But there were 12 baskets that showed up because one person was thankful. One person. Just saying, God, I believe your word. So thank you. I mean, we have to get in that habit because, like faith, thankfulness requires more than just words. It has to be action. Because thankfulness without action is dead. Because if you're thankful, you're going to act like it happened. Amen. That's when someone gives you something, you receive it and you say, thank you. Because you appreciate what you received. If you don't say thank you, either you don't think you got it or you don't appreciate it. There was a student when my wife was teaching LCA here. And he gave her he picked out something that he wanted to give her for Christmas. And his mother was appalled and embarrassed. She was like, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. And he had a big smile on his face when he walked up to Deacon Phillips and said, here, you know. And she opened it up and her eyes got big. She was like, thank you, this is gorgeous. I love it. I'm going to keep it right here on my desk. And he started glowing. He was so beaming. And his mother was like, oh, this is so good. He's like, you wanted me to have this. Thank you. Thank you. He went looking for it. This is what he wanted. He was proud to give it. Thank you. It was a gift. You appreciate the gift. You know, not like they do on Seinfeld, you re-gift. I don't like this, so I'll just give this to someone else. Okay. No, give it to me, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I read that scripture, and, you know, you read it, and you hear it, and at least for me, when I read a scripture, something has to jump inside of me. Something has to do something. You know, I don't just read a scripture and go, okay, yeah, that's what. No, I have, like I said, I have to get something. So I keep reading it, and I start going to other translations. And I said, okay, I'm going to start reading the notes and things about this scripture. Listen to this. The Greek translation of giving thanks is very ambiguous. It can mean give thanks for all things or for all people. But in the Aramaic, it's very specific. Now, this may sting, but this is an area of thankfulness that we haven't grabbed hold of. And it's extremely important to God. This is what it says in the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation, this scripture is based on the Aramaic. Always give thanks to Father God for every person he brings into your life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, always give thanks to Father God for every person he brings into your life. I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think about some of the things you said about some of the people that came through your life and some of the things you did or didn't do because you allowed them to get on your last nerve.
Amen.
Or you didn't like the way they said something.
Amen.
Maybe they're just loud and raunchy.
Amen.
They had no home training.
Amen.
Whatever it is, you don't want to be seen with them in public. I'll be friends with them here in church. But no, I'm... But God said, be thankful. He said, always give thanks to Father God for every person he brings into your life in the name of our Lord Jesus. Now go to 1 Corinthians. So I saw something in here. Keep in mind that we have these thoughts about people God has brought into our lives, and we haven't been thankful for. We haven't been thanking him for these people. We've been trying to pray them out of our lives. We created a term that God didn't say. We want to love them from a distance. We want them over on another continent. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 21 to 27, the Passion Translation. It seems that it's written more toward the Aramaic. It would be wrong for the eye to say to the hand, I don't need you. And equally wrong if the head said to the foot, I don't need you. Listen to this, folks. And listen to it in light of thank God for every person he's brought into your life. In fact, the weaker our parts, the more vital and essential they are. That person that gets on your nerves, that person that causes you to twist up and get what they call now the stink face every time you see them, has a vital importance to your life.
Amen.
They're either going to bring something out of you or you're going to put something into them.
Amen.
Either way, it's vital for you. Either way, the body parts we think, hear this carefully, the body parts we think are less honorable, we treat with greater respect. The people who are part of the body that we don't like, for whatever reason, we need to treat with greater respect.
Amen.
Why? Because God said so.
Amen.
And the body parts... Remember I said there's something you don't want to be seen with in public because they don't know how to act in public? The body parts that need to be covered in public, we treat them with propriety and close them. That means we're their covering. We are their covering. We have an important role to play. But we have to see, but the reason we're not doing it, the reason we're not giving thanks is we're not seeing them as valuable. We're not seeing them as gifts from God. But yet we'll read John 3:16 and make a big deal about, oh, God so loved the world. What about us? If we so love the world, we're thankful for everybody in the world. And we show that thankfulness. Verse 24. But some of our body parts don't require that much attention. We like those parts. But look what God did. Instead, God has mingled the body parts together, giving greater honor to the lesser members who lacked it. He's done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern, and so there'd be no division in the body. Then we can be thankful for every member of the body. Every member. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all.
Amen.
If one suffers, everyone suffered. If one is honored, everyone rejoices. You are the body of the anointed one, and each of you is a unique and vital part of it. Every single person is a unique and vital part of the body, and we should be thankful for them.
Amen.
We should give thanks for them.
Amen.
We should act like we're thankful that God created them. Because he did. Or did we think we're the only ones that are fearfully and wonderfully made? They are also. We just look and see that they're not pleasing for the eye. They don't have money to buy us food. But it's not about that. God brought them into our lives for a reason and for a purpose. You know, we want to be sharp. Okay, sometimes he brings sandpaper. Some sandpaper is fine. Some are very rough. And you know what it's dependent on? You. If you have some edges that need some rough sandpaper, guess what? But if you just need a little refining, then he'll send something much smoother. Maybe. Maybe you're too refined. Sometimes we get too dignified to go places or to mingle. So God wants to bring the best out in us, and the best in us is being able to abase and abound. Amen. And be comfortable no matter where we are in that scale. Amen. Because we're giving thanks to the same God no matter what. So it all boils down to this, folks. Always give thanks to God for every person he brings into your life. Period. Amen. Every person. Stop looking at what people do and look at who they are. Amen. Gifts from God. I mean, if someone gives you a blender as a gift, and you don't take the time to read the instructions, and while it's running, you put your hand in there, and when you get back from the hospital, first thing you do is you take the blender and throw it away. And a blender's in a trash like, I did what I was designed to do. You're the one who didn't read the instructions. Well, the same way it is with people. If we read our instructions that we call the Bible, we'll know how to handle people. You know, in every manual there's a troubleshooting section. Where it says, if this happens, do this. Well, Jesus said, love your enemies. So if you recognize someone who thinks they're your enemy, love them. Amen. Amen. If someone is doing something, let me preach it. If something... If there's someone that's doing you wrong, bless them.
Amen.
Do good to them.
Yeah.
Why? Because your Father told you to, and you're thankful for the opportunity to be a blessing in this person's life. We don't know what people have gone through. Everybody has a story.
Amen.
Everybody has a reason.
Amen.
And everybody thinks they're right.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to go to the one who's always right and find out what he wants us to do and be thankful. I truly am. Every time I'm in front of people and every time he brings new people here, I am thankful and grateful to God that he's trusting me to do right by you. He's trusting that I'm going to say everything that's right so that you all can grow. Grow strong. He's trusting that that's what I'm going to do. I don't take that lightly. And so no matter who the person is, God is trusting me with them. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent them here.
Amen.
When I say me, I mean he's trusting me and Pastor Ed. He's trusting the pastors here that we're going to do right by the people that he sends.
Amen.
He didn't come, God didn't come with a list and go, he come to me and he say, okay, here are all the names of the people, Mary. I want you to pick out the ones you want to deal with, and those are the ones that I'll send to you. Okay? He doesn't do that. He calls you to an office, and he sends people. And you're like, thank you, Lord. for the people that are coming. Bring them all. I'm like, yeah, the ones that get thrown out of church, bring them here. We had a young man, he's come to about four services out in Pennsylvania and equal number of Bible studies on Friday night. He came dressed in jeans and a shirt, and it wasn't even his best jeans. He deliberately wore something that was stained because he wanted to see if he was going to be judged by the people. That's what he wanted, because it's happened to him in other churches. So he figured, before I get attached to anything, let me find out who these people called Redeeming Love Christian Center really are like. And he said, Pastor Greg, everybody that I've talked to, they live out the name of this church. And I said, well, thank you. We endeavor to do what God wants us to do. And he called us to love one another, and that's what we're attempting to do. You can't see, if you love people, you'll be thankful for them. Amen. You're not going to love people you're not thankful that you encounter. Matter of fact, you're going to wonder, what did you do to make God stop loving you by sending this person in your life? So let gratefulness and gratitude rule your life. Be thankful for what you have and for the people that God allows in your life. Stop complaining when contrary situations or people show up. Even when it seems like you have less than what you need, keep a thankful attitude for what God has provided and for what he said he will provide. We thank you for this, Lord, and thank you because you said you're bringing this. I stop people when they start complaining about their cars, referring to it as a rust bucket piece of junk and all this stuff. I'm like, you'd rather be walking? Does it run? Yeah, it runs, but not buts. It gets you from point A to point B. Thank God for it. What? Too many of us have the attitude, I'll thank God when. I'll thank God if. I used to tell my son all the time. He said, yeah, Dad, I will. You know, all I want God to do is give me this and this and this, and I'll serve him. I'm like, it doesn't work that way, son. I said, you're not looking for God. You're looking for a pimp. And that's... He looked at me, he said, Dad, I'm like, you want someone that'll take care of you and then you'll show your affection for them. That's what you're looking for. So you got this thing backwards. Bless his heart, he's getting it. He's getting it. But we have to, all I want us to understand, with it just this long, roundy way, just for us to understand, because God is God, we can be thankful. And we should be thankful. Because there isn't anything concerning us that he doesn't have a promise that covers. There isn't anything. Anything that could ever come against us, we already have a promise. We already do. So why not say thank you no matter what comes? Because we win. Didn't he say he'll always cause us to triumph? Well, there's only one way to triumph. You have to be in a fight and win it. You can't triumph if you're never in a fight. So if you want to triumph, be prepared for the fight. And thank God for it. Someone got very, very concerned because I said one Sunday, I said, look, Jesus, I know that Jesus gave me power over all the power of the enemy. So I just, I said, so take your best shot. He said, oh, no, you don't do that, Pastor. Like, what are you talking about? He said, no, Jesus didn't say, take your best shot. Yes, he did. He didn't say it in those words. He acted it out. It said, can I not right now pray the Father and he'll send down legions of angels? But then how will the scriptures be fulfilled? He knew who he was. He knew, and he wasn't backing away from anybody. I'm not backing away from anybody.
Amen.
And you're not backing away from anybody or anything.
Amen.
We're going to be thankful for all things, in all things, about all things. No matter what happens, we're going to be thankful.
Amen.
We're going to have joy.
Amen.
We're going to continually pray, and we're going to be allowed a full expression of Christ to manifest itself in our lives. Amen. Just be thankful.
Amen.
Be thankful.